offspring, and it made him wonder about his own calling to fill the earth. And that's why he is so excited to meet his wife for the first time. And then he says, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And then the Bible immediately in Genesis 1, in the first book, adds the comment Jesus is quoting in Matthew. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, I suppose we'll understand that Adam is talking here about marriage. But consider the context in which all this happens. The Bible tells this: Adam, the man, was created first by God out of dust of the earth. But then a woman was built by God out of the flesh of this man, out of her husband. Now that's a great mystery of which I don't understand the details, but it definitely tells us something about the unity of husband and wife from God's perspective. And that perspective is very different from ours. We think marriage is about two people falling in love with each other, and then say, if you see your way clear, you commit to each other in marriage. And somehow that human perspective leaves the possibility open to break up the unity if it doesn't suit any longer. But that's not God's perspective, and therefore not Jesus' perspective on marriage. We read in the Bible that God first separated a woman out of a man. As the story goes, it says this: from one man, Adam, he made two, Adam and Eve. And then he rejoined them again in a new way, and that's marriage. Adam was unconscious when God made a woman, but when he woke up, he recognized straight away who that other person was and why she was there. She had been part of him. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. So first he was one, and then God made two out of the one. And the next thing that God says to Adam is, "Adam, now be one again. And that's your responsibility from now on." And in that context, we read, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife and become one flesh." And we add in brackets again. See, if a woman gives birth, something similar happens. Then one become two, or if you look from the perspective of the parents, two become three. They have to be one family, but as family, they are not to become one flesh. That's only for husband and wife. But that unity of the family needs to be replaced, says the Bible, with a new unity. One day, children have to replace the ties they had with their parents and form a new allegiance. No longer is the relationship with mum and dad the most important one in their life. And they should sever that tie in a way. Of course, they are still important, but not the most important one. Because from now on, there's a new body that they belong to and that they are committed to. So from God's perspective, a married couple is an unbreakable unit. God, being whom he is forever faithful. He is always committed to us, even at a high cost for himself. And that is why it hurts him when we are not. So calling to faithfulness in marriage has everything to do with God's own faithfulness. Don't separate what I have joined together. Now, I know heaps of questions will come up about all kind of marriage situations where they can come to. And I'm not going into that from the pulpit. And perhaps not even in private, but I don't have all the answers either if it really goes wrong. Can be very hard. But today I only want to ask your attention for the rule that Jesus reminds us of What God has joined together, let no man separate. He's not only talking about divorce, he's already talking about right from the start, from the marriage, that you have to stay together and grow together. Huh? A marriage doesn't end in divorce. The divorce, the separation begins already when you separate in the beginning and start as two people who have not really a lot to say to each other. What God has joined together, let no man separate. That's how it was from the beginning. And that's how God meant it to be. And I know reality is tough. We do not live in the ideal world where God originally Adam and Eve placed in. Soon after their marriage, Adam and Eve in their foolishness thought that they knew better than God. And as a consequence, not only their relationship with God, but also their marriage was ruined. The consequences of Adam and Eve's rebellion we bear up to today. We live in a world, as the Bible calls it, is dominated by sin, poisoned by sin. Now, sin means that we do not live up to the standards that God has set for human life. We don't read or we don't apply the instruction manual. And we're all responsible for that. Because sin is a problem of our own heart. Sin, be it pride or selfishness or plain stupidity, has also affected our marriages. The first thing Adam and Eve did when they realized that he had sinned against God was blaming each other. And since that day, marriage has been a struggle for everyone who tried it. Also amongst God's people, Israel, it didn't always work. Hence, Moses had to make some arrangements in case. And Jesus acknowledges that. But at the same time, he reinforces that it was never God's intention with marriage to make divorce an option. He intended it to be lifelong. And that's why even today a divorce is a dreadful thing to go through. It's not that you commit the unforgivable sin if you once divorced. It's not that. But it's still a terrible thing to go through. It goes against your grain. If you experience a separation of what once was a unity. I just said that the fact that so many people are struggling in marriage has to do with the problem we all carry in us, the problem of human sin. Since our relationship with God is not what it's supposed to be, we struggle to maintain the relationship with our spouses. And once again, I'm not giving here practical suggestions how to maintain a good marriage, but I want to give you the two main points. And the first thing is this: you need to know what God means with marriage. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. And don't forget, in the Bible you hear the designer of marriage himself. Marriage has no purpose in itself, but is part of God's plan with the world and with your life. Life is not about being happy in your marriage. Life is about knowing God, your Creator. And if you come to see that, you will have a great handle on many things. The second thing you need to know is that Jesus came into this world to give people a new opportunity to have a relationship with God. And we've heard human sin has an enormous impact on marriage. The reality of sin in both of us, in husband and wife, makes it almost a mission impossible. But if you get to know Jesus Christ and through him find a relationship with God, you have a great tool to restore human relationships as well, especially marriage. For all the mechanisms the Bible talks about in restoring our relationship with God apply also to marriage relationships. When we get to know God as he really is, we will find that our human pride is broken. It's replaced with humbleness. And imagine what that would mean to your marriage. When we realize that the biggest hindrance to find a relationship with God is our own human sin. And then hear how sin is taken away by Jesus Christ. We begin to see perspective. Jesus died on the cross. Not by accident, but with a divine purpose. In dying for us, he dealt with our sin in such a way that we could change from enemies of God on our way to hell into friends of God on our way to heaven. So that we, instead of strangers, could become children of God the Father. Part of God's people with whom he has great plans. And all those who place their faith in Jesus Christ and trust him to make them right with God will receive that relationship with God. It's a great miracle, which the Bible indicates as, once you were dead, and now you live. Amazing grace, that is. Imagine what that would mean to your marriage. If you both, as husband and wife, have a relationship with God, you have found a way to maintain your relationship with your spouse. And the core words are forgiveness, love, commitment, trust, and hope. That hope we want to offer as church today to people who do not have such a relationship with God. If we can help you with finding such a relationship, you will find how God is also a healer of a lot of brokenness in human life. And again I say, Jesus is not a quick fix to all your problems. But fact is that of all those who do believe, all these people once were at a point in their life that they realized that they could not manage on their own. And it's that very situation that you can become a rock bottom in your life. It's that very situation that God uses to draw you to himself. Maybe that day has come for you to admit in humility that there are things in life that you can't handle on your own. And take then home the message that Jesus is alive and around. He is the only one who can bring you back to the Creator, the divine designer of your life. It's only in him that you will find satisfaction for all your human needs. So far, the message for this morning. I'd like to invite those who like to know more about these things to fill in that little fill the little communication card that you will find in the leaflet that you receive today. If you want to talk to people about this, or to the pastor, or to one of the elders, you're quite welcome to do so, and we'll see where we get together. Let's now sing a song, and after that I'll lead you in a prayer.